Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
This morning we're talking about celebration. Celebration. But before we talk about celebration, does anybody remember, can anybody name everything that we talked about this week from beginning to end in order? Right there. Sharing the gospel was one of them. Yep. Anybody else? What else? Right here. Fellowship. Right here. Using your gifts. Obeying. Telling the truth. Forgiving. There are a few more. Obedience. Praying for others. Yep. Well, what did we just learn about last night? Right in the back. Yep, you. Honor your parents was a few days ago. Right there. Reading. What did we learn about last night? We were outside. You know, we were talking about dropping your book bag. Yep. Helping others. Fellowship. Yep, yep. Fellowship made a big impact on you guys. Right here. A good Samaritan. Yes, that falls in the same category as helping others. So good job. So, I think so. Good job. Good job, everybody. Okay. So then celebration is the last thing we're going to learn about this week, unless you guys learn something on the bus, which will be interesting. But so celebration, does anybody know what celebration means? Can it right here? It is sort of like a party. Anybody else? It's sort of like yep. All right, one more. Celebrating God. That is one way to celebrate. Yes, so one of the other definitions of celebrating is to remember. What do we do? Why do we celebrate Christmas? Just shout it out. Why do we celebrate Christmas? Jesus was born, right? We celebrate Christmas every single year to remember that Jesus was born. And he was born to come and save us. And that's why we celebrate it, is to remember it and to keep it in our minds and to thank God for it. And so celebrating is one of the ways that we can thank God and remember him for all of the things that he's done, right? And so we can celebrate by showing everyone around us, by being obedient, by using our gifts, by telling the truth, by honoring our parents and reading the Bible, by praying, by being in fellowship with others and helping other people. And we can show our celebration when we forgive others. And all of the things that we've learned about this week are ways in which we can celebrate. But does anybody know there's two words that we're going to use today? We're going to use joy and we're going to use happiness. Does anybody know the difference between those two words? Okay. Well, so right here. Happiness is temporary. Joy is forever. When I eat ice cream, I can be happy. And when I stub my toe, I'm probably not very happy. But I can be joyful when the fire alarm goes off at 6:30 in the morning for 2 days in a row. I can be joyful when we have to go home from camp. I can be joyful when I don't have enough to sleep to keep my eyes open. I can be joyful when I have to do the hardest thing in the world. I can't be happy during all these things, but I can be joyful. That's because happiness comes from temporary things. It comes from being with your friends, which is all good, but that will end at some point. You will have to go home at some point. You will have to eat your veggies at some point. You will have to say, I have to do this at some point. But joy will not end. Joy, it says in Nehemiah 8:10. You don't have to turn there, but it says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. That means that when we are joyful, it is beyond helpful to do everything else. When you're joyful, you can do all the things that we learned about this week. You can tell the truth. You can be obedient. You can use your gifts. You can do all of these things when you're joyful. But when you're not joyful, it really doesn't do all that much. It does not help you as much as it would if you were joyful. We learned also a few days ago, or maybe it was just yesterday, I don't know, the time has been smushed together, about Peter in jail. Does anybody remember that? Raise your hand if you remember that. When Peter was in jail, and Peter was chained to two guards, so he couldn't go anywhere, and he was sitting in the middle of his jail cell, and he couldn't go anywhere, and he couldn't do anything, and he couldn't have any fun. But I bet Peter was joyful. In fact, Peter even says that he was joyful. How was he joyful? He was in jail. He was chained to two guards that wouldn't let him go anywhere. Probably wasn't very happy, but he was joyful. Do you know what causes joy? It's really easy. It starts with an obedience. Good job. When we are obedient to what the Lord wants us to do, that leads to joy. And that's how Peter was joyful, because he was in jail not because he robbed somebody or because he did anything wrong, but because Peter was sharing the gospel. He was doing what the Lord asked him to do. He was being obedient. And that meant that even when he was in jail, even when he couldn't go anywhere, he could be joyful and he could celebrate that doing what the Lord had asked him to do had led to this. He says, this is God's plan. I know it's good, so I'm going to celebrate. I'm going to be joyful. I'm going to write letters to all my friends and say thank you for your prayers. And then guess what happened? Probably he went to bed that night, and he was like, oh, thank you, Lord, for your safety. Thank you, Lord, that I'm not in more trouble than I am. And then he woke up in the middle of the night. He was woken up by an angel. An angel kicked him in the side and said, get up and come with me. He thought he was dreaming, but he wasn't. It was probably because he was so joyful and so obedient to what the Lord had said that the Lord said, yep, you're coming out. All these people were praying for you. All the people you were in fellowship with, they were praying for you. They were being obedient to me and praying for you. So guess what? You're coming out with me. And he was joyful the whole time. He didn't get joyful when the angel said, you're coming out. He was joyful before that. He was joyful when he thought he was going to be in jail for a long time. And so there was probably some pretty big celebrating when he got out of jail, don't you think? So we've learned, or I've said, that joy comes from obedience, right? And joy then leads to celebration. Joy, when you have enough of it in your heart, when you are obeying the Lord and you are walking with him, you get so full of joy that it starts to overflow. And it starts to overflow so much that you can't stand still. You start walking like this a little bit, and you start kicking a little bit, and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited. I am so excited because the Lord is good, and I am obeying him, and he is rewarding me, and life is full of joy. Even when things don't go wrong, you can still be so excited. And so the actual passage in the Bible that we're going to turn to today is in 2 Samuel. So if you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Samuel, which is in the Old Testament. If you're holding your Bible, it's pretty close to the beginning of the Bible. It's pretty close. It's after, what book do you think it's after? It's 1 Samuel. You guys are so smart. You have been using your detective skills all week, I can tell. So we're in 2 Samuel 6, 2 Samuel 6, okay? And we are learning about David today. David was king of Israel and Judah. David was the one who killed Goliath with his sling. David was the one who was promised that he was going to be king when he was only a little bit older than you guys. Can you imagine that? In the next few years, if somebody said, you're going to be king of one of the biggest nations that you know of, that'd be like me coming to you and saying, you're going to be president someday, and I promise that, and it's going to happen. That would be pretty crazy. So David has gone his whole life waiting to be king, and he finally became king. The Lord finally fulfilled this promise to David. So David is king. He's probably pretty joyful already. He's probably pretty excited that because he obeyed the Lord, now he is king. Now he can do the things that the Lord wants him to do. So he's king, right? And he's taking over lands that should have been Israel's. He's doing all the things a good king should do. But then he thinks to himself, you know what is missing? The Ark of the Covenant. Now, the Ark of the Covenant was this big gold box, and it was the throne of God's presence. So it had these two angels. They were called cherubim, and they had big wings, and they were sitting on top of this gold box. And this was what was called the Ark of the Covenant, okay? And Israel's enemies had taken this big gold box away. They'd taken away the throne of God. And they've marched it off to their other lands. And what David wanted to do was he wanted to bring that back to Israel. He wanted to bring that back to God's people. He wanted to say, when we are worshiping the Lord, I want his throne to be right here. I want it to be in the midst of our people. So what he did was he went out and he gathered all his guys and he said, we're going to go get it back. So they went and got it back. And they were bringing it back. And after they had won and taken it back and brought it into the city, David was overflowing with happiness as well. He was overflowing with both joy and happiness because, one, he was obeying God. That's where the joy came from. And two, he was winning. That's where the happiness came from. So he was feeling pretty good. And what would you do if you were king of a really big place and were feeling really good? If it was me, I would throw a party. And so David went out and he threw the biggest party that he could. It probably went on for days. And there was lots of music and lots of dancing. And David was dancing around for hours. He looked really silly, but he didn't care at all. He didn't care at all what he looked like because he was dancing, because he was so full of joy that the Lord was taking care of him and his people. But his wife was like, you look really silly. Stop. His wife didn't want him to dance because she thought he looked silly. She said, stop that. You look ridiculous. Why would you be dancing? You're supposed to be a king. Stop dancing. And this is where we get to what we're supposed to read. It says in 6, verse 22, it says, I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes. So David doesn't care what other people think. He doesn't care what all the people of his kingdom think. He only cares what God thinks. And right now, the only thing that's in his mind is, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for putting me where I am. Thank you, Lord, for keeping your promises. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me for everything that I might have done wrong. Thank you, Lord, for bringing this Ark of the Covenant, this throne of yours on earth, back to where we can see it and we can worship you. So David is so, so happy, and he's so full of joy that he starts dancing, and he looks really, really silly. And he doesn't care. He doesn't care at all what all the other people think of him. He doesn't care at all what his wife thinks, what the other kings think. He doesn't care at all. So when we go home this week, we should remember that. When we're so excited that we had an awesome time with the Lord, you don't have to walk out and be like, I'm cool again. You don't have to walk out and act like nothing happened. You can, don't be afraid to show what the Lord has been doing in you. If you walk away this week feeling different and feeling more excited about God, don't let anybody tell you, oh, you can't be that excited. That's not right. You can't be that excited. You shouldn't be. You look weird. You sound weird. You talk weird. Don't. Because if God was standing here, and all of those people, all the people on earth were standing here, and they were all saying, you look silly, and God said, you look awesome to me. You're my favorite person. You're doing what I asked you to do. who would you listen to more? I would listen to God more because God really cares. All those other people who say, you look silly. You shouldn't do that. They think you look silly because it doesn't happen enough. They think you look silly because they probably want to look silly too. So when you go home, don't be afraid to look silly. Now, we were just talking about Daniel dancing because he brought the throne of God back to the middle of the people. He brought it back, and now God's throne is right there. It's right there. You can see it. You can almost touch it. Probably shouldn't because bad things happen when the wrong people touched it. But it was almost there. And there's one big, humongous difference between David and us. And it's that if you've asked the Lord to be, if you've asked God into your heart, you have the Holy Spirit. And that's like God's throne is right here, always. It doesn't stop. You don't have to go to sleep and walk away from it. You don't have to go to camp and leave it at home. It's always, always right here. And when the Holy Spirit is right here, you can celebrate and throw a big, enormous party all day, every day for the rest of your life. So, we have such an advantage. David had to go to a place. He had to go get something. He had to go out to literal war in order to bring God's throne back to where it should be. But we don't have to do that at all. All we have to do is we have to say, Lord, I know that you are in charge of the whole, everything I can think of. You're in charge of the world. You're in charge of the universe, the solar system, the galaxy. You can keep going and going forever. He's in charge of it all. He knows where everything is. You say, I want to get to the McDonald's on Neptune. He'll give you directions. You have to say, thank you, Lord, for sending your son. He sent Jesus, right? And Jesus, he took all of our sin away. Every lie that we've ever told, every person we haven't forgiven, every time we've disobeyed our parents, he took it all away. He took it all away because he wants to be with us. He wants to be with us. He wants to have that Holy Spirit in us because that makes him so happy. It makes him so happy when we get up every morning and we sing to him this week. It made him so happy. It made him so happy when you guys prayed together as a cabin and had fun and laughed. It made him so happy and he wants to be with us. And if you accept him and you say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for sending your only son. Then he'll give it to us. He's waiting to give it to you. He won't just throw it at you, but if you ask him for it, he'll give it to you.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.